Lord God, may your word be a lamp to our path and a light to our feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, which is the Sunday between the Ascension and Pentecost, comes during a week when we have been reminded that our world is a dangerous place, experiencing again a major terrorist incident in our own country. The situation of the world in which we now live is brought home to us in vivid detail. The political situation is complex, and I don't claim to be an authority on it at all, gathering as I do, as perhaps we all do, different bits of information, second or third hand, from a variety of sources. But it's clear when we take time to look at the objective facts about our world that it's a violent and dangerous place. The first century world was also a dangerous place. There were wars and rumours of wars then, as well as now. In the New Testament, we read about the situations faced by the early Christian church as it negotiated its survival amongst the tensions between the Jewish and Roman civilizations. We read and hear of suffering and persecution, and of believers being encouraged by church leaders to interpret their suffering within the long-term purposes of God and his promises. The contexts of the words when they were written was clearly about Christians suffering persecution because of their faith, because of what they believed. They were following a new way, believing that the longed-for Jewish Messiah had come and worshipping this new figurehead Jesus as king instead of the Roman emperor. No wonder their situation was political and dangerous. Our situation, I suggest, is different. We know that international terrorism is not purely a religious war, despite appearances. We know that extremist Islamic views are not part of the teaching of the mainstream, and that peace is. It is not just Christians who are being targeted. We are encouraged to stand together with other religions, to work together, to fight for our common goals against extremism. In 1 Peter chapters 4 and 5, we read some words of encouragement written to the early church, which offer guidance as to how they were to approach their suffering. First, in chapter 4, they were told not to be surprised that suffering happens among them, because they are sharing in Christ's sufferings. Whether we like it or not, it is part of the deal that Christians will suffer. We will not have charmed lives in which nothing human happens. Jesus was human, he lived a human life, and that included experiencing suffering. How were they to approach this through the eyes of those who have faith? In chapter 5, we hear these words: "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary the devil prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering." In these verses, they are being encouraged to submit their lives to God and the trials that come that way, hard though that may be. They had to face up to a spiritual foe, the devil personified as a lion, prowling around, ready to devour anyone. They were encouraged to make sure also that they were a member of a Christian community which could uphold them and protect them in difficult times. It's been said by many that the struggles we face now are a battle between good and evil, not a battle between religions. This is part of what the Apostle Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 6. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. But knowing this sometimes doesn't make reality any easier to take. At times like these, we all feel our vulnerability because we are at risk. At times like these, we feel shocked and angry at the waste of life. We may not find it easy to talk about a reassuring, hopeful presence of God when people are grieving for members of their family or community, when we too perhaps want to shout, "Why?" at God. Last Thursday was Ascension Day, when the church celebrates Jesus joining God in heaven after his resurrection. And next Sunday we celebrate Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was first given to the early church. We can gain spiritual strength through reflecting on these two big events, remembering, as always, that we now live in a post-Pentecost church. We have the gift of God's Holy Spirit with us now. We can call on God to fill us with his Spirit, to help us in times of need, and be certain that he will hear us. We believe in Christ crucified, risen, and ascended. He was crucified. We know that Jesus identifies with the world's suffering. He was risen to give us all hope that death does not have the final say over evil. Life will triumph. Darkness does not put out the light. And he is ascended. Jesus is in heaven with God the Creator and God the Holy Spirit as part of the Trinity. When suffering, the encouragement that those early Christians received from Peter's first letter could also be ours. We can take to heart his advice to humble ourselves before God, cast all our anxiety on him, discipline ourselves, and keep alert, resisting evil. In this dangerous world in which we live, we need to be actively engaged in living out our faith in Jesus Christ. Firstly, in our private lives, taking whatever time we need in the way that is best for us to be with God, listening for his guidance. And secondly, in the communities in which we live, with friends, at work, with our family, in our neighborhood or church, being who we are, and perhaps holding the hands of those who find it unable to do these things for themselves because their suffering is too great. Our faith in the risen, ascended Jesus, who is a member of the Trinity, gives us a context within which we can confidently give ourselves in relationship to others, across faith boundaries and differences of opinion, to live together in all its fullness as members of humanity loved by God. Amen.